In Christ Jesus, the obedient Son, who came into this life to keep the law perfectly for us, dear fellow students of the Word. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." The son answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. Then the father came to a second son and said, "Likewise." And the son answered and said, "I go, sir." But he didn't go. What do you think? One son rudely and disobediently said, "I'm not going to work in your vineyard." And later he regretted it and went. The other one piously and politely said, "Yes, sir, I go." But he didn't go. The request from the father was the same. The response by the sons pulls apart. So Jesus asked the Jewish leaders this question: what do you think? Which of the two did the will of his father? The Jewish leaders, of course, naturally said, it was the first son, the one who had first rejected you and didn't want to go, but then went. He did the will of the father. But had they known that Jesus was going to use their answer to condemn them, they might have answered differently. Because by their answer, they were saying, "We are guilty as charged." Because Jesus explained, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots entered the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." The first son in our lesson is a picture of the tax collectors and prostitutes. They first did not listen to God's word. They lived their life the way they wanted to, in immorality, ungodliness. And then when the word of God through John the Baptist touched their hearts, they were led to repent, confess their sins, look to Jesus and believe in him, and they went to work in the Lord's kingdom. The second son is a picture of the Jewish leaders. They revered God's word. They worked with God's word. They worked in the temple. But in the end, they didn't believe it. They didn't obey it. They didn't live it. They were not repentant of their sins. They didn't really work in God's kingdom. Yeah, they lived and worked in the temple, but they didn't really work in the vineyard, the Lord's kingdom. They were great yes men. With their mouth, they said, "Yes, Lord." But their hearts were far from him. What a shock it must have been for them to hear Jesus say that these despised sinners, such as tax collectors and prostitutes, were going to the kingdom of God instead of them. These are the lowest class of people, people that they didn't even minister to. They were a lost cause. But Jesus shows these leaders why these lowlife were entering the kingdom of heaven instead of them. When John came preaching, "Repent of your sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand," these leaders refused to listen, ignored his words, didn't believe. But these tax collectors and many prostitutes were led to faith. Jesus said, "John the Baptist came in the way of righteousness." That means he lived a very moral, upright life. He didn't drink wine. He was moral. Everything the chief priests emulated. And yet they rejected him because of his message: repent and believe the good news. As you said, many of these tax collectors and prostitutes heard that message, repented of their sins, believed in Jesus, and even though these chief priests and these leaders saw the difference in their lives, saw their fruits of faith, they still rejected Jesus because they believed they were good enough to get to heaven by themselves. They didn't realize that their hearts were putrid sewers of spiritual filth and sin. They had the words in their mouth, but not in their hearts. They were all show and no substance, all word and no action. They didn't do the work of God. And what is the work of God? Jesus tells us in John 6, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So let's get down, let's get real, and ask yourself this question. Which of the two sons am I? The one with the empty words, or the one with the repentant action? Now hopefully, none of us here are outside of the kingdom of God and his grace. Have we all been led to repent of our sins and look to Jesus alone as our only Lord and Savior? Yet how often haven't we, in our selfish, sinful ways, exhibited the same ways as the chief priests and the scribes? Oh, we know the word of God. We sing praises to our Lord. We've been taught that we're saved to serve the Lord, and serve our neighbors. And yet, we don't work in the Lord's kingdom always. We don't serve the Lord. We don't spread his word. We don't use our time, our talents, our energies, our treasures to spread the gospel and help other people. Instead, distracted by other things, we get too busy with the mundane things of life or our self-interests, our selfish activities, and don't follow through with our Christian commitments. Or, we have to admit that at times we're like the first son. God's word comes to us, plain and clear, says, "This is what I want you to do. This is what I don't want you to do." And we say, "No, I won't go. I want to do what I want to do." But thankfully, God's grace grabs hold of our heart. And through working the law, we're led to repent of our sins. And through that gospel, look to Jesus and serve the Lord with gladness. But then there are the times when we have said, "No, I will not go." And we didn't go. We kept thinking those sinful thoughts. We kept doing those sinful actions. We kept saying those sinful words. Thankfully, there's a third son in this lesson. The one who told the parable. God's son, Jesus. The one who never refused to do his father's will. Never said, "Yes, I go, Father," and then did not go. This son is perfect in all of his thoughts, all of his words, all of his actions. He went to the cross to pay for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins. All of our sins when we said, "Yeah, Father, I'll do this," we didn't do it. Or when we said, "I'm not going to do this," and then we had to repent and do it. He paid for all those sins. And then he gives us his righteousness. His perfect life is given to us through faith. And that motivates us. It's only because of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection that we are moved by the Spirit to be obedient sons and daughters to serve our Lord. When Christ lives in us through the power of the gospel, we willingly do the will of our Heavenly Father. And then when our sinful flesh raises its ugly head and we say, "No, I won't go," then we need to hear the law again say, "That's condemning. That's wrong." We led to Jesus and serve him and believe we have forgiveness and life. What a tremendous joy to know that all of our sins, thought or indeed, have all been forgiven. The Bible assures us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And again, "Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall be as wool." May this forgiving love of our Savior move us today and every day of our lives to pray, "Lord, give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wanderer sought and won, something for thee." Amen. We'll sing hymn 786, verses 1, 3, and 5.